How wonderful is it in your presence, O Lord. How wonderful to be guided by your counsel. Jesus, O Jesus, be the center of our lives. Be our life. We are crucified with Christ and we live no more, but Christ in us. Spirit, O wonderful Spirit, come now and be the one that lead us in every way. We allow you now to take control, to take over. Prepare every heart. I pray that you anoint my lips and what I'm saying will be directly from Father God. We praise you for that. Amen. As you've seen that we on the notices that the topic of this morning is of knowing God. And this is really the heart of the gospel. It is the core of religion, is by knowing God. This determined our destiny and our purpose in life. Why are we here? Is when you come to terms of knowing God. This study of God is so vast, so deep, that your thoughts are lost in it. And your pride is drowned in its immensity. Because if you come to this immense, majestic, marvelous, great God, which no one can see and live, so big is he, so holy, so almighty. Then you come to a point of humbleness. And you come where your soul is so humble, but it's also expanded in the signs of Christ and of the secrets of God. In the knowledge of his Godhead, of his Trinity. In the glorious Trinity of God. Knowing God is crucially important for living our lives today. That is why this world is in total chaos, and why the Church of Christ is in a crisis. Because we don't know our God. Hosea 4 verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you rejected knowledge. I will reject you from being priest for me. Hosea 4 verse 4. Therefore people who do not understand will trample. They will perish. They will stumble. People don't know their God. That's why there are millions and millions of people stumbling around in disarray, in blindness. That's why they are fighting in churches even, because they don't know their God. God has created us and this world, and it made it perfect, but we've made a mess of it because we turn our backs on God and we don't know Him. Before we go any further, I just want to say that there must be clearly a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. A clear difference. To know about God Himself, to know Him, is just a way of, to let us to know God. That knowledge. There are five fundamental basics about the knowledge about God. Five fundamental basics. The first one is, God has spoken. He has spoken through His word. This wonderful, precious word. And He has spoken in the flesh through His Son. That's the first point, a basic principle. Second, God is Lord and King of this universe. He rules over it. He displays His perfection in all. He does that in order that man and angels will worship and adore Him. That's the second thing. God is King of this universe. The third thing is, God is a God that saves. He's a Savior. He's active in sovereign love. And He did that through Jesus Christ to rescue us from the guilt of sin and from the power of sin. He did it. To accept Him as His sons and to bless us accordingly. That's the third thing. The fourth thing is that basic principle is, God is a triune God, a Godhead. Three persons in one Godhead. One God. All three acting together in the work of salvation. All three. Father proposing the redemption, Jesus Christ securing it, and the Holy Spirit applying it. That is the fourth point. The fifth one is, godliness means responding to the revelation of God. When God is revealing Himself, godliness is a responding to that in a way of trust, in a way of obedience, in a way of worshiping, in a way of prayer, of praise, of submission, and of service. That 5 points is the basics of the gospel of knowing about God. So true religion then is that we live and must live a life in the light of His word. Now can one ask, what is God? Who is God? And to put a definition of that, it's not easy. But the Westminster Shorter's one more or less, it comes up to this, that God, first point, God is spirit. It's very important to know. God is spirit. He's infinite and He's eternal. is unchangeable in his being. He's unchangeable in his power, in his justice, in his wisdom, in his goodness, in truth and religion. He's unchangeable in that. The aim in studying the knowledge, to know God, or knowing about God, as I've said already, must lead us to know God. The study of knowing about God must lead us to God, and it must lead us to God Himself, to have God. To come to the point of what is man's best end. What is man's best end? There's a story that I told a minister there in Scotland. He went around the houses and in his visitation, and a young lad, he asked a young lad there, I don't know what was his name, he said, what is man's best end? And the minister said, I've got him. And the lad said, no, the man's best end is to glorify God in all and to enjoy Him forever. Yes, said the minister, you're right. And that young lad, in timidity and humbleness, said, but sir, what is the best end of God? And the minister thinks a bit, and he said, no, I don't know. And he's got scalp's mind. He said, the best end of God is to glorify man and to enjoy him forever. That is why you must come to know God, and that is what it is all about. The big question now is then, how? How can we get to that point of knowing God, to have God? The first thing that we must mention, and the first point that's very important in trying to get to that point, to knowing God, is that we must first know, how did God create us? We know now that God is spirit. God created us according to His image, the image of God. So primarily, we are spirit. John 4, verse 24 says, God is spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. So to get to the heart of God is not primarily head knowledge, but a case of the heart, of the spirit. That and there is where we connect with God. It's like an electric wire. It's winds by, but if it's connected, the stream of power, of joy, is running through. The second point that we must acknowledge to know God is that what really matters is not that we know God, but that He knows us. That is a very important thing. To know Him because He knew me first. I love God because He loved us first. The same here. To know God, we must acknowledge the point that if we know Him because He knew us first. And He longs to have a desire to have a relationship with us. This Almighty God desires it. He loves it. His eyes will never leave us. As the psalmist said, the eyes of the Lord is on the righteousness. He's watching over us, day and night. He knows us better than we know as ourselves. What a wonderful, peaceful thought is that. This is the second one, to be known by God. The third thing, there must be an earnest seeking, a desire, a burning desire in your spirit for God. Isaiah 26 verse 9 says, with my soul I have desired for you in the night. Yes, my spirit within me, I will seek you early. In Proverbs 8 verse 17, the Lord said, I love those who love me, and those that seek me diligently will find me. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful promise. So this seeking, this earnest seeking of God, we need a few things. The first thing, we need faith to come to know God. It's crucial. God said in Hebrews 6:11, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder for those who seek him. So faith is crucial, important. And God honors faith. The second thing is, we must have a humble spirit to come to know God. A humble spirit. Jesus said, blessed is the poor, for them belongs the kingdom of heaven. Who's that poor? It's the poor in spirit. You know how you're dependent on God. That's the second thing you need in the seeking of the knowledge of God, to know him. The third thing, there must be a hunger spirit. A hunger spirit for his word. Job said in 23, I treasured your words, O Lord, more than my daily necessary food. Jesus said, you won't live by food alone, but by every word out of my mouth. So that hunger spirit for the word of God is crucial. The fourth thing is, there must be a thankful heart. A thankful heart for what God did to us. If we read in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who gives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems you from the destruction, from the life of destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, and who satisfied your mouth with good things. Those God that pull us out of destruction and give us life in abundance. How thankful can one not be? The fourth thing is, there must be a sincere and pure heart. this seeking of God. What does that mean? It means that you seek God to have Him alone and not His benefits. Not what He can do for you, but for His heart. That is what you want. As you can say, like the psalmist in 73 verse 25, who do I have in heaven but you? And on earth I desire nothing but you, O Lord. Just you, no other motives. Knowing that this is what God's desire is very important. In Uzziah 6 verse 6, it is said that I desire mercy more than sacrifice, and to know me more than burnt offerings. The knowledge of God. If there's two things that God wants from us, the first thing is to know Him, to really know Him. And the second thing is, as we know, to love Him. To love Him with all your heart and all your soul and all you've got. The fourth thing now, and this is a very difficult one, but very important in this, to know God. And that is by prayer and meditation. And I must say, and I think in this day and time, that these two are neglected very severely in this rushing time that we are. Very. But it's crucial. Prayer and meditation. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. You shall meditate on it day and night. What's meditation? What does it mean? I think that's because it's so rare nowadays. It's a very difficult to describe and to say, but I think one way to see it is to turn each truth that we learn and that God revealed to us, each truth, to turn that in a matter of meditation before God. And that leads then to prayer, praise and worship. That's one way to see it, is to turn each every truth and revelation into a case of meditation. Another thing is, it's the activity of calling to mind, of thinking over, of dwelling on it. And by doing that, applying it to oneself in the ways and the will and the work and the purpose and the promises of God. It's an activity of holy thinking, of holy thoughts, performed in the presence of God, under His eyes, and by the help of God, that holy thoughts. That's a means of communicating with God, where our spirit is meeting God's spirit in communion, in one. In that way, it clears the spiritual and mental vision of oneself. It clears it. And this truth, if His truth is coming to full proper impact on us, He changes our minds and heart. I thought a while back if I want to say this, but I think I'm gonna do it to give it an example. It's about not long ago that somebody come and insult me for something that I'm not really guilty of, in a really bad manner, bad words, and even almost violent. And it affects me very badly. And I did nothing. By the grace of the Lord, I did nothing and I say nothing. But my heart was torn. Torn. And I cry out to the Lord. In meditation and prayer. And he said to me in this meditation, he gave me a few sentences, you know, a few verses. God is so faithful. We sang about it. He is so faithful. In this despair of mine, as I cry out, he said to me, he leads me to Job 5 verse 21. You shall be hidden from the sword of the tongue. He leads me to Psalm 94 verse 19. In the multitude of my thoughts, because a lot of thoughts went through me, your comfort, that's what the psalmist writes, in the multitude of my thoughts and of my worries, your comfort, the comfort of God, will enlight my spirit. And it brings healing. Not immediately, but it helps. So this is just a practical example from our daily life. Because each of every one of us go through life different ways. But this, can I say, works. For sure. That is when you come out, as Job said, and God has tested me, and I came out as gold. We are tested each day, every day. Are we getting out as gold? Job did. How? And he said just a sentence, verse further, as I said, because I treasured your word more as my daily life food. The evidence that you really know God must be there. What are they? There are a few that I'm going to mention. One is that the losses and crosses in life cease to matter less. Because the joy in the Lord, as Nehemiah said, is my strength. Is my protection. Because Psalm 16 said, there is fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. So if these things come, and difficult things will come, then you will be able, if you know your God, to come out as pure. You know God tests us, but you will come out. You know God love, as you know Him. God love, of God discipline those that He love. That is He. But if you know it, it will carry you. The second point is, of this knowing God, the evidence that we have is, it creates great energy great energy for God in the way you're living and in the way you're praying. We can see this in examples out of Daniel's friends when they were in big trouble and they prayed to the Lord because they know Him, and they were saved from the furnace. They were saved because they know their God. So they will be in great energy to pray and to strive for God. The third thing is, you will have great thoughts of God. You will have great thoughts of God. And I've read it this morning already, where Daniel 2 verse 20 said, as I read it, "Bless the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and the changes of times and seasons, and He removed kings and princes and raises them up. He gave wisdom. He reveals deep and secret things." So there will be great thoughts about God. The fourth thing is, it will show, if you know your God, it will show great boldness. Boldness in your daily living as you live. You will know that it's most important, more important to obey God than persons or people. So this knowing God will create great boldness, and you know that your life is in God's hand. It's not primarily about your life. Jesus said, "Who loses his life for Him will receive it." The fifth thing is to have great contentment. Great contentment. You will have great contentment if you know your God. Then that peace that surpassed all understanding will be there. That you know that God is in control. And this relationship with Him guarantees God's favor for you. Isaiah 26 verse 3 said, "And He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is set on Him." In perfect peace. In Romans it stands, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. That peace is immense and will carry you through anything. To close down, if you really know God and God knows you, then God becomes a reality for you. A reality that in every second of every day you will experience Him in His presence. You will be under His eyes constantly, and His hand and His arm will be available constantly to support you. By knowing your God, you will live a life, a purposeful life, a life, abundant for life, a life that you not live just for yourself. You will have, that is practical things, you will have a healthy and peaceful relationships with your daily. It will come because your relationship with God is right, because you know you God, you will be under all circumstances, even tempered, self-controlled. You will know that God, as He is unchangeable, He will help you. You will live a life with constant joy and happiness and peace, no matter what. You will be able to rule over sin, a victorious life, because God is your God and His power is immense. God is a holy God and He hates sin, absolute hates sin, and you will also, if you know your God, hate sin up to destroy it. God desires a holy and godly life, and you will, if you know your God, if you know Him really, will live it. You will be able to show mercy and love in circumstances that you not even know is possible, because you know your God. And you will, and it will come out that the biggest desire for you is to please God in all you do. It will just come. I close down, and my prayer is for each and everyone here today. The prayer of, or the words of Joy, the wife of C.S. Lewis, that said that all she wants in life is God, and anything else matters nothing. Everything else is irrelevant, but to have God. Is that what you want? The prayer of Paul in Philippians 3 verse 8, that I will count all things loss for the excellence, all things, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. That knowledge of the excellence of Jesus Christ is not coming out of books. You can read and read. It is by living and experiencing it daily in our walk with Christ. I know that we are on in this congregation with the mission of God. We're busy with that. And I must say that the core from where this, everything of this mission is that we will come to know our God and to have God and just Him and nothing else that matters. Amen. Father God, we come in this morning and we say thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that comes to heal us, to liberate us, to set us free. Thank you that we can see in nature and in science and in art and everything. Can we see your greatness and your goodness and your provision? And we want to adore you and praise you. We We ask, O God, that you will, through your Holy Spirit, lead us to know you. Lead us to an intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So that everything that we say and do will be acceptable for you, will be like Christ. You say, Jesus Christ, you said, if you see me, you have seen the Father. If you know me, you will know the Father. So Jesus, all we want is you. Holy Spirit, come and glorify Christ in us. And we come and we ask and we pray for this congregation this morning. And we ask that you will be with each and every one. And that you will guide them with your counsel. And that you will uplift them in their spirits. And that they will come to know you. That's our biggest desire. I pray that's also for the millions and millions outside. But Lord, for those that are blinded, stumbling, falling, for those that walk they in darkness and they not even know it because they don't know you, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and reveal God Almighty to us. We give you and you alone all the glory. It's all about you, and we praise you for that. We ask us in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there another song that we're going to sing? What's the now?